Amen. I want to say thank you to Brother Richardson and thank you to the Grace Baptist Church for all your work today. Amen. It's just been a wonderful day today. The preaching had just blessed my soul. Amen. The singing has been a blessing. And you can't go wrong with the blood. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that I'm not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Amen. But I'm redeemed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen. Amen. We need to magnify the blood more. Amen. Every day. Need to magnify it. Amen. That's what saved my soul. Amen. That's the substance that's rescued me from hell and from the lake of fire. I am thankful tonight for the precious blood. Had you mentioned that you love Him? Have you worshiped and adored Him? Amen. When I could see no way, He made a way. Amen. I'm glad tonight that He is everything to me. Amen. I'm thankful tonight that He walked up Golgotha's hill and He bore my sins on Calvary's cross, that I could have life and I could have life more abundantly. I'm thankful tonight, amen, that I'm saved by the good grace of God. You glad you saved tonight, amen? Amen. I'm glad that hell is not my home when I leave this world. Amen. When I leave this world by way of the grave, or if Gabriel sounds the trumpet, amen, I'm going to be home in the presence of my Savior tonight. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful tonight for that. Amen. John chapter number 19 tonight. John chapter number 19 and verses 16 through 30. It's just been such a blessing to hear the Rochester sing tonight. Amen. I love this family. Amen. I've been listening to this family ever since I was a little boy. Amen. And Brother Brady and his family, they come every year for our homecoming in June. And this past year, he called me and said, "Brother," he said, "there's a young man from Michigan that is wanting to meet Mary Beth." He said, "Would it be all right with you if he come to..." Y'all don't kill me now, all right? He said, "Would it be all right if he comes that week while we're with y'all, and for them to get to know one another better?" Well, during that week, me and Brother Brady, we had to spend a lot of time off together in the prayer closet. Amen. Amen. He said, "Brother," he said, "I've never faced anything like this before. And now Mary Beth and Andrew's engaged." Amen. And next June, he's coming back for homecoming again, him and his family. And I'm hoping Andrew's up there picking that guitar. Amen. And that mandolin with him. Amen. But I tell you what, it's something else. All of our kids are already married. And got our daughter and son-in-law, and got our little grandbaby with us tonight. Amen. I tell you what, it's a blessing. Grandbabies pull on you pretty hard. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Amen. If you're able to stand, I'd ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of the Word of God tonight. John chapter 19, and let's begin reading of verse number 16. The Bible says, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city. And it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, Write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now, the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, notice these scriptures now, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. You can be seated. Let's pray. Lord, I love you tonight. I thank you most of all for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for convicting me of my sin, of showing me my need for a Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, Lord, at Pine Grove Baptist Church, 11 years of age on a Sunday night in late August. Thank you, Lord, that I went down a sinner, but I came up a child of God. Thank you, Lord, for being my friend and my refuge. Thank you for being my comfort. Thank you for being my strength. Thank you, Lord, for being my high tire. Thank you for being my buckler. Thank you, Lord, for being everything that I need in this walk of life. Lord, you're everything and more. My mind has not even been able to fathom all that you are to us tonight. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to stand here and preach the Word of God. I ask you, Lord, to please anoint me, Lord, as I stand to preach. I ask you, my Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would anoint the hearing of your Word as well. I pray, Lord, that ears would be open and hearts would be receptive, Lord, to the precious Word of God. I pray, Lord, if there was someone here tonight that does not know you as their Savior, I pray that God's Spirit would finger around their soul and they would see their need for Christ, Lord, before it's eternally too late for them. Lord, I pray you'd get glory to yourself above and beyond anything and everything that could be done. And Lord, I'll love you. I'll give you the glory for all you do. In Jesus' lovely name, I pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Tonight in our text, we have John's account of the last moments of Jesus Christ on the cross, just before his final cry. I read to you tonight in verse number 30. The Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I want to read something to you tonight. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was an individual that came from Italy. And he was in our country for several days. This individual drew literally thousands of people. Amen. Just to be able to see him as he would pass by. I want to say tonight, boy, I sure am glad Jesus passed by my way one day. I'm glad that Jesus, the darling Son of God, passed by my way one day and showed me, amen, that he loved me, that he cared for me, that he would save me if I'd only come to him. But there was literally thousands. While he was here, I guess you could say millions of people that were enthralled by this man. And that's all he is a man. Here, I want to make this statement tonight. I want to read you a quote of what he said. I want you to understand, I'm not attacking him personally. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. I'm not going to attack him personally. I don't believe in his religion, and that's what it is. It's just religion. Amen. It's a form of godliness, Brother Scott, with no power in it. Amen. But I'm not attacking him personally, but I'm preaching a standing message tonight. Amen. On Friday evening, September the 25th, while speaking at St. Patrick's Cathedral, New York City, Pope Francis said, and I quote, "To see and evaluate things from God's perspective calls for constant conversion in the first days and years of our vocation. And need I say, great humility." He goes on to say, "The cross shows us a different way of measuring success. Ours is to plant the seeds. God sees to the fruits of our labors. And if at times our efforts and works seem to fail and produce no fruit, we need to remember that we are followers of Jesus." I was listening to a man preach not long ago, Brother Charles Lawson, Knoxville, Tennessee. He made the statement, he said, "Today religion is boasting in the fact that they are followers of Jesus." But Brother Knopfinger, they pick and choose what about Jesus they want to follow. And most of the time, they'll go to the Sermon on the Mount there in the book of Matthew, and they'll pick and choose what they want to follow. That's where they get, and of course, Pope Francis, before Congress, he mentioned the golden rule. You'll not find anything in the Sermon on the Mount that deals with salvation. The Sermon on the Mount deals with the life. It's going to be lived when King Jesus comes back to this earth and rules and reigns from Jerusalem. Nicodemus was a follower of Jesus. Nicodemus said in John chapter 3 verse 1, he said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Say, preacher, what's going on? Nicodemus is a follower of Jesus, but Nicodemus is lost as the devil himself. Pope Francis said, we are followers of Jesus. Now notice this. And his life, humanly speaking, ended in failure. The failure of the cross. End quote. I want you to understand something tonight. I want to be clear in what I'm saying. In no way, shape, or form can you attach that word failure to any part of the life and ministry of the darling Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. No way. To do so is a gross error. Amen. Amen. I want to say Jesus Christ was not a victim of a failed ministry. Jesus Christ, He did not bite off more than He could chew. Jesus Christ was not a martyr, amen, of an unfortunate set of circumstances. I want to say tonight that Jesus Christ, He finished His work. He fulfilled His Father's will. He accomplished salvation for whosoever will. Amen. And He died victorious over all of His foes. Physical, principalities, supernatural, natural. He died victorious over us. This world would say, what a failure's hanging up there. I say, what a Savior is mine. Amen. This world says, amen, He went down and defeated. Amen. He bowed His head and He cried, Tetelestai, it is finished. finished. I've accomplished what God gave me to do here on this earth. Don't sound like a failure to me. Amen. Amen. Say, preacher, what you talking about? The Bible said in Colossians chapter number 2, the Bible says in verse number 9, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Amen. Look at verses 14 and 15. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly. Amen. Triumphing over them in it. It don't sound like a failure to me. Amen. It sounds like when He hung there on that cross, amen, He took all my sin and your sin, the sin of all of Adam's race in His own body. Amen. The devil no doubt was hanging around there. Amen. The demons of hell no doubt was hanging around there. Amen. They were thinking, man, we've got Him. Amen. He's nailed. He's going to die. Amen. But He goes off and He makes a show of them openly. Amen. And He triumphed. He triumphed. Don't ever let anybody tell you, amen, that He failed. Humanly speaking, He's victorious. Amen. I want to say tonight for Joey Durham, He is victorious. Amen. I want to preach tonight for the next few hours on this thought, why the cross is not a failure. Amen. Why the cross is not a failure. Amen. I'm glad tonight. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad tonight I can pillow my head. Amen. And I can have the assurance in my soul, amen, that I am His and He is mine. Amen. Boy, I'm glad tonight that I'm saved. Are you glad you're saved tonight? Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Why the cross was not a failure? First of all, tonight I want to bring this to your heart. The cross of Christ is not a failure because of the control Christ displayed. Amen. Somebody would say, things kind of got out of control. They bound Him in the garden and they led Him away. They took Him to the hall, to the judgment hall. They took Him to the house of Caiaphas, the high priest. And there they had a mock trial. And there the religious leaders of the Jews condemned the darling Son of God to die. They said, the world would say things kind of got out of control. They took the darling Son of God and they buffeted Him. They cleared their throat and brought up the most cruel, hideous, vulgar stuff that they could from their body to spit in His precious face. They brought Him before Pilate and said, "This is a criminal. We don't want Him around here." Pilate examined Him and the Bible says found in Him no fault at all. Sent Him to Herod. Herod wanted to see a miracle. Amen. Herod, when he didn't have his desire satisfied, the darling Son of God wasn't going to give Him the time of day. Herod set Him at naught and sent Him back to Pilate. People there that day decided, "We'll not have this man to rule over us." Somebody would say things kind of got out of hand. I want to say tonight, nothing got out of hand. The darling Son of God was in control at all times. Amen. Here in our text tonight, in verses 16 through 18, I see the control he displayed in allowing himself to be delivered. Look back up here in verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. The Bible says, "When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Then the Lord Jesus answered here and he says, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin." The Lord looked at Pilate, the Roman governor, and he said, "You would have no power at all against me. Jesus Christ was in control at all times." And I look at here in verse number 16, and I see the words, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified." And then I think, why? Why was he delivered? Why was he delivered unto them to be crucified? You're looking at one of the reasons. I'm looking at many of the reasons. Amen. Tonight, every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth is the reason. Jesus Christ was delivered. He was in control at all times. He allowed himself to be delivered because I needed a Savior. You needed a Savior. Everybody in Madisonville tonight needs a Savior. Everybody in Sturgis needs a Savior. Everybody in Kentucky, the United States, around the world tonight needs a Savior. I wish everybody has the Savior tonight, but they don't. They can if they'll come God's way. But Jesus was delivered. Amen. Because man needs a Savior. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, amen, He can be your Savior before you leave this house tonight. He can be your Savior. He was delivered for you. Amen. Amen. I want to say the Lord knew every part of the crucifixion process. Nothing took Him by surprise. Nothing blindsided Him. Have you ever been blindsided by something? You never saw it coming? Nothing took Him by surprise. They took Him out and they stretched Him out over that whipping post. And a Roman soldier took that whip, that cat of nine, with the bones and the glass and the jagged pieces of metal, no doubt laced within the straps of that Roman whip. They laid Him across, tied Him there. The darling Son of God, amen, He took every one of those lashes. He knew every one of those lashes. He welcomed every one of those lashes. Say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" He said, "The cup which my Father hath given me to drink, shall I not drink it?" They took Him there and they laid my cross and they laid your cross on His beaten back. And He walked through the streets of Jerusalem outside the gate, amen, toward the hill Golgotha. Amen, He carried my cross. He carried your cross on His back. And He carried that cross under the weight of my sin. He carried the weight of my sin and your sin beaten, humiliated. There's no way I can adequately put into words all that he faced when he was delivered for your sins and mine. But he was in control, Brother Richardson, in allowing himself to be delivered. In verses number 19 through 22, I see the control he displayed in the announcement of his purpose. Look there in verse number 19. The Bible says, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Brother Benny, that was written in Hebrew and Greek and in Latin. Brother Rochester, there were those there that day from the Roman Empire, and they could see the accusation that was fastened over the head of the darling Son of God. And the accusation is, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. What does that word Jesus mean? That word Jesus means he's a Savior. Those in the Roman Empire, Brother Benny, they looked at that cross, they looked at the darling Son of God, beaten beyond recognition as a human being. Isaiah wrote that his visage was so marred. More than any man. More than the sons of men. Those in the Roman Empire could look at him and they saw that beaten mass where the world, all the sin of this world was going to be laid on him. But this world unleashed their hatred. I'm talking about the violence, the hatred of an unbelieving, ungodly world was unleashed on the darling Son of God. Amen. The violence and the hatred, amen, of a religious, unbelieving world was unleashed on the darling Son of God. And just beyond the precious head of the darling Son of God is Jesus. He's the Savior. Was it there, Brother Nofsing, or a Roman soldier that bowed and put that cross? And he said, truly, this was the Son of God. How do you know? Out there, but he said, it's Jesus. Jesus. The Greeks that were there that day surrounding the cross would have read, he's the Savior. The Jews that were there that day, Brother Richardson, would have looked above his head and said, this is the Savior. He's the Savior. Yeshua. The Jews would have read Yeshua there that day. He's the Savior. Say, preacher, it was just put there by happenstance. No. No. The great God of heaven ordained before the foundation of the world. And we could go to Revelation chapter number 5. We could see in heaven's throne room, John, he hears a voice behind him. Hey man, thinks it's the Lion of the tribe of Judah, but he turns around and he sees a lamb in the midst of the throne slain. Amen. From the foundation of the world, God Almighty ordained that Jesus Christ, amen, be the Savior of mankind. There were there those that day that saw him, and over his head, he's the Savior. He's the Savior. I'm glad that by the eye of faith,
11 years of age at Pine Grove Baptist Church in Pickens, South Carolina. I'm glad that by the eye of faith, I saw Him, my Savior. He's in control. In control. In verse number 28, I see the control He displayed and the accuracy of fulfilling the Scriptures. The Bible says, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the Scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. All the way back in Genesis, chapter number 3, verse number 15, God prophesied that His Son was going to come. That His Son was going to pay your sin debt, my sin debt. That the precious Son of God was going to, from that spot began a trail of blood. From Genesis all the way through Malachi, and you come to the Gospels, there's a river. There's a river of blood. So many ewes, so many lambs were offered up. All the blood that was shed could never fill that bitter cup. Till one spotless lamb in the form of man gave His life on the Calvary. It was the only blood that could ever set me free. And His blood was not just blood of another spotless lamb, but His blood is precious blood, for it washed the sins of man. And this blood, it heals my body, and it sets my spirit free. And I'm so glad this precious blood still flows from Calvary. You see, all the way back there in Genesis chapter 3, amen, God said, I'm coming. I'm going to make the way possible. And the darling Son of God on the cross of Calvary, He was in control. He made sure every scripture prophesied concerning Himself was fulfilled exactly.
Right, right, right. Amen.
Knowing. I see the control He displayed in His authoritative cry from the cross. The Bible says in verse number 30, He cried, it is finished. He didn't cry, it is over. He didn't cry, it's ended. A martyr could have cried, it's finally over. A martyr could have cried, hey, man, my life is ended. I'm ended with this trial. No, but the darling Son of God, He didn't cry, it's over. He didn't cry, it's ended. He cried, amen. I've done the work. I've accomplished it all. I have made the way possible. Amen. That God could redeem and reconcile lost humanity unto Himself. And praise God, we got the privilege to go forth and reconcile men to God as His ambassadors in this world. Amen. Amen.
Jesus Christ, He's not a failure tonight, because of the control He displayed. Jesus Christ is not a failure tonight because of the compassion He has for sinners. Turn with me over to the book of Luke, if you would, please. The book of Luke, chapter number 23. Have you ever had a day when you were hurting so bad to the point that you could not really care about someone else that was hurting? Have you ever? I mean, I'm not talking about that you're just cold hearted. I'm not talking about you were hard hearted. I'm just saying you were just hurting so bad. Someone else was hurting, and it just really didn't register with you. Well, here he is, the darling Son of God, hanging on the cross of Calvary, with all the physical abuse, with all the anguish that he has received for me and you. Let's look and see what the Bible says. Verse number 39 of Luke chapter number 23, the Bible says, "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." You know he was hurting. Say, "Preacher, he's God." He's God. But he felt every stripe. He felt the thorns as they slid along his precious brow. He felt it when they balled their fist up and they literally pummeled the darling face of the Son of God. He felt every blow. No doubt his eyes are nearly swelled shut. Can you imagine as he is there hanging on the cross? And literally every nerve ending in the body of the darling Son of God is screaming. He took our hell. Literally took our hell. The only fire I'm ever going to feel is burning in my heart right now. But he took my hell. I'm not being vulgar tonight. I'm not being disrespectful to this pulpit. I wouldn't do that. But he took my hell. He took your hell on that cross. And here's a thief. And at one time, he was railing on the darling Son of God. If you're the one, then save us. We don't want to die. Get us off this cross. If you're the one that they say you are, if you're the deliverer, if you're the Savior, how about doing some saving right now and getting us off this cross? A little bit later, no doubt, that thief that's the subject of this scripture right here, no doubt he had saw. He saw some love that other thief didn't see. Boy, I'm glad there was a time in my life that I saw, amen, by the power of the Holy Ghost of God, convicting me and showing me who I am and who He is. Amen, I was able to see my brother some love like I ain't never seen love before in all my life. This thief said, "Remember me." Do you remember the time when the darling Son of God rescued you from hell in the lake of fire? Do you remember the time, amen, whether it was in a church or in your home, amen, whether, I don't know where it might be, you know where you was at when heaven came down, the blood of Jesus Christ washed you. You remember where you was at when heavenward was sent. "Remember me." This thief said, "Remember me." He's dying. He ain't got any hope. He's just moments away from hell.
But he's not far from the blood either. You know what the darling Son of God said? I can tell you what he didn't say. He didn't say, "You bother me, leave me alone." He didn't say, "I'm hurting too bad to be able to help you right now. I'm really in a bad way right now myself." No, the darling Son of God looked over at him, I believe, with all my heart. He turned his precious head and looked him square in the eyeballs. And he said, Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, I remember that Sunday evening in late August. Brethren, when I went down to that altar, my daddy was up there. He was my pastor. Amen. My daddy was taking prayer requests just at the start of the service. Amen. My daddy was taking prayer requests from people that were afflicted. Amen. People that had family problems. People that were requesting prayer for their loved ones lost without God. Their loved ones backslid on God. Amen. My dad didn't know that his son, sitting about five pews back, amen, in that little white clapboard church, amen, in Pickens, South Carolina, was sitting right there next to the end, at the end of that pew, amen, next to the aisle, and the Holy Ghost of God was ringing me inside out, amen. He didn't know anything about that, amen, but the Holy Ghost of God was convicting me of my need of a Savior, amen. My dad, he said, everybody that wants to come down the altar to pray, come on, amen, and I got up, and I walked out of that pew. I went down the altar. Amen. On my left side, your right side, at Pine Grove Baptist Church, I knelt beside the cold, iron turned bent the floor. Amen. I went down a poor lost sinner. I did business with God. Amen. But I got up a son of the living God. I'm talking about a child of the King. Bless your heart. I was somebody headed somewhere because of the darling Son of God. Saved my never dying soul. Thank God for God's salvation tonight. Amen. Amen. The Lord said, today, not next week, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Reckon what it was like. Amen. When the Lord Jesus Christ went walking in, and here's this old thing. They went walking in together. By the way, one of these days, the bride's going to go walking in on the arm of the Son of God. We're going to go walking in on His arm.
Yes, sir.
Amen. What a day that's going to be.
Amen.
With my Jesus I shall see. When I look on His face, the one that saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand, put yourself there.
Amen.
When He takes us by the hand and leads us through that promised land. Amen. What a day, a glorious day. And the Pope has the audacity to say he's a failure. Got a little grandbaby back there. I don't want him to even have an inkling of a thought as he grows up in this life. I don't want him to have an inkling of a thought of the thought, my brother, that the darling Son of God failed in anything. Amen. I want him to know, hey, there's help and there's hope in the darling Son of God. He's able to stay to the other road.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The audacity of that old rascal. Finally tonight, the cross is not a failure because of the control our Lord displayed. It's not a failure because of the compassion He has, not had, but He has towards sinners. The cross of Christ is not a failure because of the charge that He gave. Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. The darling Son of God is there on Mount Olivet. He's fixing to ascend back to the Father. There in Matthew chapter 28, he gives a charge. Not closing remarks. Continuing instructions. The Bible says, verse number 16, Matthew 28, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Don't sound like a failure to me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And Matthew, he closed it out and he said, amen! One preacher said in country terms, of course he said, that word amen means let it be so. In country terms, that means let her rip, brother, let her rip. Amen. On Sunday tonight, notice the appointment of Jesus to His disciples in verse number 16. The Bible says that the disciples went to Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Before He was ever crucified, He had already made the appointment. Don't sound like a failure to me. You see, a failure would have no credibility with no one. Now you know where the Pope's coming from. Amen? You see, the Jesus that is my Savior tonight is not the same Jesus that Pope Francis is talking about. Totally, totally different person. By the way, can I say this tonight? This world religion is creating another Jesus. They are promoting another Jesus. This world, that's the reason why they can say, we're followers of Jesus. They're followers of their Jesus, not the Jesus of this Bible. Notice verse number 17. Notice the adoration of Jesus by His disciples. The Bible says, and when they saw Him, they worshipped Him. Reckon what they saw. I imagine they saw the wounds. I don't believe they're scars. No. I've heard different groups sing songs, and I'm not throwing rocks tonight. But I do not believe that there are scars in the hands of Jesus right now. I believe their wounds still as fresh as the day that soldier drove that spike through that precious head. They're just as fresh. They saw the wounds in His brow where He wore that cursed crown of thorns. They saw the wounds in His hands as He was walking along with them, no doubt. They saw the wounds in His feet and they adored Him. They worshiped Him. Boy, that'd do us some good. We need to crawl up as close to Calvary as often as we possibly can and adore Him for who He is. Say, preacher, who is He? He just rescued me from hell and the lake of fire. He is my friend. He's my Savior. He is my refuge in time of trouble. Amen. The announcement of power to His disciples in verse number 18. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. A failure has no announcement to make whatsoever. I believe it'd be safe to say tonight, Brother Richardson, that Pope Francis got it wrong. He got it bad wrong. Humanly speaking, the life of Jesus did not end in failure. And there is no failure of the cross. Say, preacher, tonight might be someone here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior. You think you do. You've tried to do better. You have even went so far to put forth the effort to turn over a new leaf in life. Make amends with some people. And try to be a better person. But you're here tonight and the Holy Ghost of God's touched your heart. And I believe you'd say tonight probably, I know that Jesus Christ is not a failure, preacher, according to the way you're preaching it. But if I don't come, if I don't trust Him, if I don't receive Him, then He'll be a failure. Not according to Philippians chapter number 2, verse number 9 and following. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I wish tonight that everyone would yield to the Holy Ghost of God and come and trust the darling Son of God as their Savior. But they won't. But even in their rejection of the darling Son of God, He's still going to be proclaimed. He's still going to be exalted. He's still going to be magnified. He's still going to be lifted up. He's still going to be made much of. He's still the exalted Son of the living God, and He's not a failure. No matter if you reject Him or if you receive Him, He is not a failure tonight. My question is, do you know Him? Do you know Him? Can I ask you the most important question that anyone could ever be asked in this walk of life? If you died right now, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Can you answer yes there? I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus Christ has not failed you. He is not a failure. And if you'll come to Him, He will save your soul. He will wash you in His precious blood. He will write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And when Gabriel sounds that trumpet, you will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. And you'll be caught up, snatched up off of planet Earth and meet Him in the air. Are you ready? Do you know Him? Lord, I love You tonight. Thank You, Lord, for Your love and mercy. Thank You, Lord, for the assurance, Lord, that I have in my soul tonight. Lord, that You're my Savior. Lord, I want to thank You that You accomplished my salvation. I thank You, Lord, tonight that You're not a failure. No matter what the religious crowd in this world has to say about it. Lord, my burden tonight is for someone that may be here in this house tonight. Lord, that does not know You as their own personal Savior. The world maybe has told them that You're a failure. Maybe religion has told them that You're a failure. But Lord, You've given this unworthy preacher tonight. I believe You have given this church here as a testimony to the fact that You are not a failure, that You are the Savior of whosoever will. Lord, will You finger around the heart of that one that's here tonight lost without God? Help them, Lord, to turn from their sin. Help them to turn from religion. Help them to come to Christ tonight. I pray, God, tonight You'd help us as Your children. Lord, that we would not be sympathetic with the religions of this world. Lord, but we would stand true. Lord, we would stand in these last days just before You come. Lord, and we would stand and Lord, we would let it be known that we love our Lord. Lord, that we're thankful for Your salvation. Lord, please have Your way in this service tonight. Bless as Pastor Richardson comes and conducts the invitation. Get glory to Yourself, and I'll give You the glory for all You do. In Jesus' name, amen.